So we chose from a verse from the 10th canto, which will introduce our lecture on the pastimes of Sri Ram, continuing. And this verse is from the 14th chapter, verse number 8, Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. Tate nukam pam sushimikshamano bhujana evatma kritam vipakam ridvava hubirvirada namaste jiveti omukti padesha dayabhak Tate nukam pam sushimikshamano bhujana evatma kritam vipakam ridvag vahupir vidadan namaste jiveti omukti padesa dayabhak. Chant. Anukampam, compassion, sushimikshamana, earnestly hoping for, bhujana, enduring, eva, certainly, atmakritam, done by himself, vipakam, the fruit of results, rit, with his heart, Vak, words, Vapubir, the body, Vidadanan, offering, Nama, obeisances, Te, unto you, Jiveta, lives, Ya, anyone who, Muktipade, to the position of liberation, Sa, he, Doyabak, the rightful heir. Translation. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow their causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, and offering you respectful obeisances within his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for has become his rightful heir. Please repeat, my dear Lord. One who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Purport by the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Sridhar Swami explains in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain the inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness, following the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead. In other words, that person will be promoted to the kingdom of God. The word shukshimishamana indicates that a devotee earnestly waits the mercy of the Lord even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord. And therefore, the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Did you get that one? Yeah? Should I repeat that line over? The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord. And therefore, the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Perfect medicine for the perfect, or for the right disease. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service, until one is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of this world. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and to return home back to Godhead. A sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back to the Lord's abode. Therefore, he willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishment and continues offering his respects and obeisances to the Lord within his heart, with his heart, words, and body. Such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardships a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, as indicated here by the word dayabak. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the supreme pure Lord Krishna without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which is, in fact, a curative treatment administered by the personal hands of the Lord. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutalo Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There's a statement in the Shastra, it's not sure where, but I've heard it, that when you turn back to Godhead and you again meet Krishna, you'll think, all that suffering was worth it. Right now we might not see that because we haven't achieved that perfectional stage of being with Krishna. But if we can understand through theoretical knowledge that the difficulties we undergo in the process of purification are directly administrated by the Lord for our purification and ultimately for our, you know, ascent back to the spiritual world. So this verse is very fundamental in teaching us that, you know, we're suffering because of our sinful activities in the past, and we may still have an enjoying tendency left. And therefore, the Lord, being the perfect physician, knows how to administer the perfect medicine according to the disease. And that medicine is meant to get rid of the disease. Sometimes they say material life is called, I think even in a Croatian country, there's a similar word, bavaro. Bavaro, which means material life. It's a form of suffering. It is suffering, actually. And therefore, in order to get rid of that disease, you know, because the disease sometimes goes pretty deep. One can never fully understand how much we are affected and still affected by the material energy, either through past activities or our present consciousness. So the Lord's very merciful. He doesn't give you the full, I mean, if he gave you the actual medicine to cure the disease immediately, it might be too strong of a medicine. So he gives you the medicine in dosages, and then, but he makes it sweet. Chant the holy names of the Lord, Harinam, Sankirtan, take Krishna Prasadam, read books, and try to engage your mind, heart, words in the service of the Lord. He makes it all positive, and as Prabhupada says, as the light of the sun brings about the daytimes, and at the same time the darkness of the evening disappears with the presence of the sun. So in the same way, when the light of Krishna consciousness comes in our life brighter and brighter, the darkness of our material consciousness is dissipated automatically. Like that. So this particular verse is very, what we say, important for devotees to understand that there may be some suffering, but if devotees accept that as the mercy of the Lord and go on in their Krishna consciousness, and actually even thanking the Lord for his merciful curative methods, then the devotee will actually become eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. So there's one particular element here. There's many elements. One of them is tolerance. Learning how to tolerate the difficulties that come by way of one's execution and devotional service. And in the Ramayana, there are many, many examples of that. Let's see, where is it here? Okay. Anyone can make a show of greatness. The reversals come. Then when reversals come in our life by what we say circumstances or by the arrangement of the Lord, then we can see what is the quality of our own devotion. Ram was forced to stay in the forest for 14 years. And being in the forest, there were many, many challenges, unlimited difficulties. The cold, cold nights, the blazing hot days in the sun, lack of proper clothing, all they had was deer skin. Food was very meager, they had roots, fruits, like that. Whatever forest provided, that's what they ate. They were, of course, rakshasas. And there were so many, of course, mosquitoes, insects, wild animals, volcano eruptions. Trying to sleep at night sometimes was difficult because there was loud waterfalls in the area making very loud noises. So the forest wasn't a very easy place to stay in, even for great souls. And while they were in the forest one day, there was the sister of Ravana. Her name is Suparnika. And she was observing these sages, which she noticed they weren't exactly sages. They were powerfully built, very beautiful, had, powerful weapons, bows, arrows, along with this very simple but yet very beautiful petite lady with them, two sages and a young girl. So she was a mystic rakshasi, and by her observing Ram, she became very much attracted to Ram in his physical form. So she was thinking, I'm going to propose marriage to this person. He is really amazing. And so, but you know, she was not a beauty queen. She was quite ugly. I mean, she would have won the Miss Ugly Award of the year if they had such contest. Anyway, Suparnika. But she had the power of mysticism, so she could change her form at will. And so she did that, and she changed herself into a very, very voluptuous-looking woman, with all nice smiles, decorations, and nice dress. And then she came in the presence of Ram. And she said to Ram, she wasn't very shy. She said, oh, such a beautiful man. Actually, you know, you are meant for me. I'm such a beautiful and qualified lady, and I can take you to the heights of heaven with sensual pleasures. So please, I know you are in the forest here, but I can take you to the realms of the devas just by my presence. So please, come with me and we will enjoy for so many years. Haribo. So Ram is thinking, what's this, you know? Okay. So this lady. So, but he was very polite to her. He said, my dear lady, you know, what you're saying is very, very attractive, and I can see you are very qualified, very beautiful. And I am also, you know, very much pleased to hear such words coming from you. But, you know, I'm married, and I have to be faithful to my wife. But my brother, he's here, and you can go, and he, take a look. And he directed her towards Lakshman. Lakshman was married, but his wife wasn't there. Anyway, so Ram said, you know, he is actually more qualified than I am. So you go, and you make your proposal to Lakshman. She looked. Not bad. In fact, pretty good. So she went over there and she gave her same, you know, orchestrated speech with all the trimmings and alankars and the beautiful adjectives. Jai Sisi Pancha Tattva Kija. And so Laxman is listening to her as she makes her same spiel to, you know, him. And he says, you know, you are a very, very qualified lady. You should only have the best. And I am the servant of my brother. So if we get together, then you'll have to serve him and his wife, and you'll be in a second-class position. Actually, you should go back and talk to Ram again. So they were playing games with her, pushing her back and forth. So she got a little discouraged, and then she looked at Sita, and she was thinking, oh, it's because of this lady that all my problems are there. So she decided to kill Sita right on the spot. So she came at Sita in a very ferocious way, and then Ram looked at Lakshman, and Lakshman went, and he cut off her nose and her two ears, and she got a facial lift, kind of, you know, facelift, they say. But it wasn't exactly how she planned it. And so she was, you know, kind of messed up, you could say. And then her hideous form as a Rakshasri was actually manifested at that time. And then she went running and screaming and yelling and into the jungle. So that place where that happened is called Nasik. Later it became, if you go to India, just north of Bombay, about 4.5 hours by train, is a beautiful city. It's called Nasik. And it's famous for that particular pastime. You actually can go to the spot where that actually happened. And there's a little temple there, and there's actually a deity of Suparnika with her nose and ears cut off. You can take darshan if you want. So, yeah, this is a beautiful place. It's Nasik. And there's many Ram temples there also. So she was really beside herself. So she came running to the armies. There was an army of 14,000 Rakshasras that were in the area. And they were all Ravana's men, headed by Dushana, Kara, and who's the third one? There was three generals. Can't remember. Dushana, Kara, and one other general. And when she came running, she starts screaming, there's this Kshatriya in the forest. He did this to me. You should go get him and kill him. So they came. They were upset because this was Ravana's sister, and they were servants of Ravana. So, and she was very much angry and encouraging him. So they came with 14,000 Rakshasa soldiers, fully armed to attack Ram and Lakshman. When Ram saw them coming, he knew there was going to be a big fight. So he told Lakshman, you take Sita, and you go and you hide her. And there's a place, it's called Panchali, Panchavati. And there's a tunnel. You can go there too, still today. And in that, there's like a little store there. And next to the store, there's a tunnel. And that's where Lakshman put Sita during this big fight between Ram and the Rakshasas. And you go in the tunnel, you can go through the whole tunnel. It's really nice. Then you come up, and you come up into the store, just in case you want to buy anything after you get out of the tunnel. Anyway, that's how they arranged it. But it's a nice place. It's a beautiful area. It's called Panchavati. And so there was a big fight there. And Ram, totally by himself annihilated the entire army of 14,000 Rakshasas within a period of 2 hours. They were all destroyed. He was fighting the whole army by himself. Lakshman wasn't even in the battle. He was simply guarding Sita because Ram was worried about Sita's welfare. And one of the Rakshasas got away. His name was Alampana. Alampana. And he got away. And later on he met Ravana. And he told Ravana about what happened. And Ravana couldn't believe it. But later, Suparnaka came and met her brother Ravana. And she wanted some revenge. So she was figuring how to get revenge onto Ram and Sita and Lakshman. So she started to, she knows Ravana is very lusty and he likes ladies. So she said, first she said, you know, this Kshatriya has annihilated your entire army. Ravana couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. This is one of his most powerful divisions in his army. The whole army was filled, it was destroyed. 14,000 Rakshas. One got away. And she said, but he's got a beautiful wife with him. And then she starts describing what Sita looks like and all her charms and like this. This girl is made for you. And she's describing in such a way that Ravana is becoming more and more lusty, just hearing about Sita. And then he decides, yes, sounds good. Now he has to... But then she warns him, he's not an ordinary, you know, Kshatriya. He's very powerful. Ravana's thinking, who can stand against me? But anyway, he was deciding, let's do it in another way, just in case he's very powerful. So there was Rakshasa. His name is Maricha. Now Maricha goes back to the beginning of the Ramayana when Vishwamitra Muni came to Dasarath's courtyard and asked for Ram and Lakshman to help him kill Maricha and Subahu. And Ram killed Subahu and knocked Maricha 14 miles into the ocean. He lived, but he took up his retirement plan. He decided no more Rakshasa business for me. And he knew who was the person who shot him. His name was Ram. So anytime anybody would speak any words beginning with the word R, he would shake and get nervous and start to become overly whelmed with fear. He was so afraid of Ram. Now Maricha was a powerful Rakshasa. He also had great mystic power. So Ravana was thinking, I'm going to go find Maricha. He's going to help me capture this girl. So he goes. Maricha's in retirement. And he doesn't want to get involved with any of this Rakshasa stuff anymore. He just wants to live out his life. And Ravana comes to him and greets Maricha and explains his plan. He says, I want you to help me steal this, you know, lady away from this. When Maricha finds out who the person is, he says, forget it. Forget it. I'm not going to do it. You're going to have to find somebody else. Ravana gets angry because anytime anybody refuses or goes against Ravana or says something he doesn't like, he becomes very, very angry, and sometimes he kills the person. And so he said to Maricha, you know, this is my plan, and you're the only one that can help me. So either you do it, or I kill you. So Maricha's thinking, I can be killed by you, or I can be killed by Ram. Nice choice. Well, anyway, I'm going to have to die one way or the other. So I choose to be killed by Ram. So he said, all right, what is your plan? So then he tells him, you know, you change your form into a deer and you lure Ram away into the forest, and then I'll capture Sita. So that was the plan. So he changes himself into this a most amazing form of a deer. It was like translucent. It had beautiful gems decorating its body. But they weren't gems. It was like the actual part of the body of the deer, and they were like different color, iridescent colors, like blue and red and yellow and green. And he looks so different and so beautiful. Now Sita's there. They weren't in Kinskinda Forest? No. What was that hermitage they were in? Anyway, I can't remember the hermitage. But they were in this area, and they were all there, and all of a sudden this deer comes prancing around. Now they've been in the forest for 13 years, so they only have 1 year left in the forest. So this, and Sita says, "Oh, look, Ram, look at that beautiful deer. Isn't that so nice? We should get that deer. We only have a little time left in the forest. I'm going to take that deer back to Ayodhya when we go. Please get it for me." Maribo. The request of his wife. But at the same time, you know, Ram says, you know, says, forget it. And Lakshman starts to speak. He says, you know, I know all 8,400,000 species, and this is not one of them. So it's not a real deer. It's probably a demon. But Sita doesn't want to hear it. She's infatuated. So what is the message here? Although she's a great personality, she's Lakshmi Devi herself, she's playing the role of a conditioned soul to get attracted by material objects. Her mind has become infatuated by something material, and she wants that for her own enjoyment. And she's asking her husband. And then the deer runs away. "Oh, Ram, he's getting away. Please go." So Ram says, all right, I have to satisfy the wife. Take her to the jungle. You know, there's always problems with women in the forest. What can you do? All right, so there's not a full-fledged kitchen, and, well, you know, she needs something. All right, so I'll go get the deer. So he turns to Lakshman. He says, "You stay here and you guard her. You don't move. No matter what happens, don't leave her, because it's very dangerous. There's a lot of wild animals, and there's many other rakshasas in the area." So Lakshman, dutiful servant, he's there guarding Sita. And now the deer is running, and running fast, and he goes really fast. And now Ram is really chasing. He's going far into the forest. Then he finally realizes this is a rakshasa. So takes out his arrow and shoots. Sorry about that. And hits Maricha, but doesn't kill him. And Maricha, using his last breath to fool everybody, he imitates the voice of Ram. And he says, "Lakshman, help! Please come and help me." And he's calling very loud. And Lakshman can hear it. Sita can hear it. Sita hears it. She says, "Lakshman, your brother's in trouble. Go call. Go, go. He's calling you." Lakshman says, "He doesn't need me. He can take care of himself. This is some trick by the demon." "No. Go. He needs your help." He says, "Just relax." You know, so many nice words. Finally, she changes her whole mood, and she says, "Now I understand everything. You simply want the opportunity to be with me." Oh my God, that boiled his blood so much. He was over the moon with anger. She starts accusing him now of wanting her. Now Lakshman was so faithful And so what we dedicated to their pleasure, and so chaste as a brother that he never even looked above her feet. He always saw her as his mother and respected her like that, not even speaking to her face to face. That was his reverence and love for Sita. But now she's saying something completely different. And she's pushing him. And he's getting angry. And he's trying to convince her she doesn't want to hear anything. He said, all right, I'll go. But I know if I go, you're not going to be here when I come back. But she doesn't want to hear anything. So there's two versions of the Ramayana. One says that Lakshman took his bow and made a circle, which was a vyuha. He said, you stand in this circle, and if, as long as you're in this circle, nothing can harm you. And in another version of the Ramayana, there's no circle mentioned. So you can choose which one you like. So let's take the one with the circle. So she's in the middle of this protective circle, and Lakshman's gone into the forest. Then Ravana comes, and he's disguised as a sadhu. He's dressed in the robes of a saint, and he's very, very bent over. And he says, oh, beautiful lady, I've been in the forest for so long, and I haven't been able to eat anything. I'm so hungry. I'm so weak. Please give me some food. And she says, oh, my poor sadhu, saintly person, I want to help you. Please come closer. I will give you something. No, I can't move. My body is so aching. I'm barely able to stand up. Please come and give me something. He's trying to lure her outside of the circle. So finally, she acquiesced to his apparent pleas. And she steps out of the circle, and then Ravana grabs her, picks her up, and then jumps into the air and flies away. She's caught. She trusted the wrong person. And then after some time, Lakshman catches up with Ram. The demon is Maricha, in the form of a deer, is already killed. Ram says, what are you doing here? I told you not to leave Sita. Let's go. So they ran back, and when they got back, Sita was gone. Now Ram is angry at Lakshman for leaving Sita. Sita was angry at him for being there, and Ram is angry at him for leaving. Poor Lakshman. He was the younger brother, and he said, in the next incarnation, I'm going to be the older brother. Because it says the younger brother must always obey the older brother, so I'm going to be the older brother next thing. So when they came as Krishna and Balaram, Balaram was older. And when they came as Gaur Nittai, Nityananda is older. No more younger brother business. And there was many other incidents which Ram put him in because of, you know, he had to obey, which he didn't like, but he did it anyway. And so finally now, Sita's gone, and now how to find Sita. So there's two messages in these two stories that I mentioned. One is the message of tolerance, where this beautiful girl is coming to entice one, but one has to be tolerant. In other words, the allurements of material life come in different forms, and one has to learn tolerance. Sometimes we connect tolerance to difficulties, but there's another kind of tolerance that's more difficult. Difficulties, we always think how to tolerate, but when niceties come in the form of material attractions, learning tolerance in those things is even more difficult generally. We might think, I have to be tolerant. We might think, this seems to be nice. But we have to weigh it in relationship to our spiritual life. If I engage in such things, it will take me away from my Krishna consciousness. It will cause me to, you know, either to fall down or to become, my mind will become disturbed and I can't practice Krishna consciousness properly. So the niceties are even more difficult to overcome than the apparent, what we say, difficulties. So that's two kinds of tolerance, tolerating the niceties and the so-called difficulties. So we saw that with Suparnika in that particular story. And in this particular story, we see Sita being allured away by apparently material desires and wanting something for her own enjoyment and causing difficulty for everyone. So two lessons there. That when one gives in to such things, the consequences are not good. Okay. So, any questions on the tolerance, the allurements of material energy? Yes? Or just some of the facts of the story?
Is it also a matter like that when we renounce some things or we willingly accept some tapasya that the misery is going to be allowed to get less. We don't have so much test.
Yeah, that means you make an advancement. Yeah, the material energy becomes less and less effective the stronger you are. The stronger you are, the more, you know, Maya has to use bigger and more powerful weapons to distract you. And she tries. But the stronger you are, the stronger you can see through all that and not be allured or be deviated in your Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
So the tests don't become less, we become more, but we are more stronger?
No, Maya always, she's always trying to test you where you're weak. So you may not have any desire to enjoy the material energy, but you may be a little proud. You might be proud of your own spiritual advancement. And therefore, then Maya will work on that and kind of like smash your pride, you know, make your pride look bad. Krishna is allowing that to happen so to purify you. You know, Bart Maharaj was in the forest. He was on the bhava platform. He had reached almost the stage of pure love of God. And he was fixed. He had retired from his kingdom, and he was there just performing his puja in the forest to finish out his remaining years in his life. But then a mother deer had a miscarriage and she died during the miscarriage and there was a little baby deer born. And so being compassionate, soft-hearted, a devotee is soft-hearted, he saw that this little baby deer was without a mother and no one to take care of it. So he decided to take care of the deer. Which wasn't wrong, but he got so absorbed in taking care of the deer that he gave up his spiritual practice. That was the mistake he made. And then the deer became his own, his focus in life. So much so that if you read the pastime, you'll see he actually starts to have loving relationships with the deer. He sees the deer as his own child practically. He's no longer practicing his spiritual, his austerities or prayers or meditations. He's simply infatuated with the deer. He dies. And then he takes birth in the next life as a deer. He was on a high platform. So what was the attack of his Maya? Krishna used his soft heart to attract him. Maya used his soft heart to attract him away. So you can, even if your heart is soft, but it's not guided by proper intelligence, you can find yourself in a very difficult place. So Maya knows your weakness, whatever it is. And she'll use that weakness to strengthen you by attacking you there. It's meant to strengthen you ultimately by helping you overcome that weakness. But so don't expect that you won't get any tests. We're being tested every minute. We're always being tested. And the more attached you are, the more you can see the tests. The less attached you are, the more the tests come in more subtle ways. There's one example where one great sadhu, he was also on a very high platform. His name was Rupa Raghunath, something like that. And he was famous for giving wonderful discourses on Srimad Bhagavatam. And people would come in crowds to hear him. But one time when he was giving a class, one very saintly lady, I think her name was, forgot her name, Himangi or something, I forgot her name. Anyway, she was a great saint, and she came to his class. But she was attached to chanting Hare Krishna. She could not stop. So she was sitting in the back of the class listening, but she was still chanting it. He notices her that she's chanting japa while he's giving his class. He says to her, hey, why you're not listening to my class? You shouldn't be, he starts to criticize her, finding fault. She can't stop chanting. It's not possible. She's absorbed in the holy name. But she's also able to listen at the same time. He doesn't see that, and he criticizes her for being inattentive in this class. She doesn't say anything. He gets really heavy with her. She remains silent. Finally, he gets so angry, he just practically can't speak anymore. And she just remains very humble and chants. Later on, he fell down. He fell all the way down because he committed offense to a great saint. So what was he? He had a little pride. He had a lot of spiritual advancement, but he had a little element of pride there. And because of that pride, he was put in a situation and then he failed to act properly. Balabhacharya came to Lord Chaitanya to give Lord Chaitanya various types of messages about Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya liked Balabhacharya, knew he was a great devotee, but he had some pride. And Lord Chaitanya saw that pride and would not give him a minute of he wouldn't listen to anything he had to say. Because he could see that pride, although he was highly qualified in so many spiritual ways. And then he tried to speak to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and they also knew how Lord Chaitanya treated him. They wouldn't listen either. Finally, he went to Gadadhar Pandit and sat down next to Gadadhar Pandit and forcibly started reading his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Gadadhar Pandit is very simple, he's sweet, very sweet and very simple. Also, although a great scholar, he didn't know what to do. He just sat there listening to Balabhacharya. But in his heart, he was praying, my dear Lord, I don't really want to listen to him, but I don't know what to do. I don't want to leave and offend him. He was like that. So Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything to Gadadhar later for listening to Balabhacharya. But Sarup Damodar Goswami chastised Gadadhar. He didn't see it the same way. So yeah, so he had a little pride, but great scholar. The Vallabhar Sampradaya, Pushtimarg, followers of they worship Radha and Krishna in Sri Vrindavan Dham. He is the Acharya. The Lord Chaitanya didn't give him any any space because he saw this pride there. So Maya will find exactly where you're weak or whatever you have to work on, and she'll attack you there. For the non-devotees, they're servants of Maya, so she, you know, they're getting her mercy all the time. But for devotee is always aware not to fall into Maya, so Maya's just looking, how can I challenge this person? She knows your weaknesses. Yeah, so you'll get tested. Everyone gets tested at every minute. There's one way to pass the test. Always remember Krishna. If you're remembering Krishna, you pass the test. Because Maya can't touch you when you're remembering Krishna. Or if you're fully absorbed in serving Krishna. Like that. You know, this happens to lots of sannyasis. They go, they join the Hare Krishna movement, and they're engaged in, and after some time they meet their old girlfriend before they were a devotee. It happens all the time. Now their old girlfriend comes back into their life, and now there's a sannyasi, right? And she wants to reawaken the memories of their times together. It happens a lot, because it's Indra who does that. He wants to challenge the sannyasi, so he does that. He sends his own, your old girlfriend back, or your old boyfriend back. Beware. What happened, was it? Yeah. It's actually mentioned in Shastra, and this is what happens. I remember one sannyasi, he was married before, and he had a little girl when he was married, and he left that whole thing, became a sannyasi, was in Krishna consciousness for 35 years, and then his daughter comes to see him. After 35 years, she finds her father. How's he going to deal with his daughter now? He's a sannyasi, hasn't seen her for 35 years. She's not exactly following the four regulative principles either. So, yeah, that happened just recently, a few years ago. This one sannyasi, his daughter came back. So, you know, you get tested. You get tested. There's always tests. Everyone gets a test accordingly. But these tests are welcomed by the devotee because they help us to take more shelter of Krishna. Krishna, save me. Krishna, what do I do in this situation? A devotee looks for greater shelter and more prayers to Krishna when these tests come. That's all. The tests will come. Everyone gets their tests. You like pizza and ice cream. Okay. So you just finished a big meal and you're all full, and someone says, I got some pizza and ice cream. Oh, I'm so full. But pizza and ice cream. Oh, man. You know, this is definitely Krishna's arrangement. So, you know, you get kind of tests all the time, you know. Or the doctor says, no pizza. And your favorite pizza, and then your friend says, let's go to Holy Foods. Oh, no, Holy Foods, that's my holiest place in Ljubljana. They got good pizza, no kidding. That's one of the best pizzas in Europe, is in Holy Foods. So, you know, you get tested. You're always getting some kind of test. So don't think you're free from tests. But they're good because they help you take shelter of Krishna. They help you to say no to Maya. Any other questions? Yes.
What is
mercy and causeless mercy? Mercy is always coming. Causeless mercy is that mercy that is specially given by the Lord. The Lord wants to show some special mercy. He gives it. But mercy is always available. Mercy is there in the holy name, in association with devotees. And everything we do is a process of mercy. The mercy is coming. So as we absorb ourselves in these things, we get the mercy. But special mercy was the one the Lord wants to benedict you with something extra. Maybe something you did, some special mercy. Well, special mercy is actually realizations. When you get a realization in Krishna consciousness, we say that is actually the category of special mercy. You start realizing things. You really realize the philosophy. Any other questions? Quiet today. Everybody's hungry, I guess. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. I want to ask about interaction with devotees.
What's that word you use?
Interaction.
Interaction, okay.
They are actually sent for special mercy sometimes that we face our bad things we have inside us. Because when we see good things inside the devotees, when they looks like it's that they do something wrong. But it's behind this wrong is good.
Yeah.
Because it's mercy. And you see the bad like it.
You're seeing the good or you're seeing the bad? Which one? Both. You're seeing the good. Yeah. So, that's right. Yeah. Even good persons make mistakes and should not be labeled as bad because they make a mistake. And a bad person sometimes does something good and should not be labeled good because he one time did something good. You should not judge a person simply by one or something that happens like that. And devotees, we always try to see those qualities in that person that are what we say wonderful. Everyone has good qualities. The main good quality of a devotee is that they're a devotee. Therefore, devotees are worshipable because they're devotees. How many people actually seriously take up the process of self-realization? And those who do, they're considered glorious. So it's not a small thing. Yes?
I wanted to ask you, why is there in this matter of good qualities, can you say something about Hanuman?
About Hanuman? Well, you asked me to speak about this, and I did. And I was going to speak about Hanuman this morning, and I was thinking if I do, then Sachi Mata will be unhappy because she can't hear Hanuman, which I'm going to speak about tonight. I mean, about this pastime, which I was going to switch the pastimes and do Hanuman this morning and this one tonight. But since you said do this, I did this, and I put Hanuman for later. So you're going to have to stay longer. Yeah, I had my Hanuman lecture ready to go. And then I thought, Sachi Mata said, say this one. And I asked the devotees last night, please give me a pastime. And you were the first one and said, I want to hear about the deer. And Maricha, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, you'll have to stay for part two. That's tonight. I'll speak on Hanuman. Sorry. Because if I start Hanuman now, you know, it will be late for breakfast and... Hanuman is, there's a lot there. Okay, so, one more question, yeah.
Is
If you want me to. Yeah, I'll speak about that tonight. It's a wonderful story in the pastime of Hanuman and crossing the ocean, coming into Lanka, finding Sita, getting captured, battling the Rakshasas, like that. Is that a hand? Okay.
There was 14,000 Rakshasas. They went in three groups that I know. Yeah? That means there are three types of Maya or something like that.
I never heard that. Did you read that somewhere?
I saw the film.
Yeah, there's a lot of what we say, I don't know, what's the word? Not conjecture, but what's the word? Extrapolation, no. Imagination, maybe it's closer. Yeah, sometimes they take a particular pastime and when they want to dramatize it, they add things to it. But I don't know, in any of the Ramayana it doesn't say that. There were three generals that had 14,000 Rakshasas. They attacked as one army. That's all it says. It doesn't give any other meaning to it. At least according to my reading. But I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't think so. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I was just wondering when you were explaining how the sinfulness of this fear was that Sita was attracted by something apparent, okay, material, and then it looked like something else, but in the essence it was something different. Yes, that was the main point. When we are attracted to material things, we will not get what we think we are getting actually.
Right, exactly.
I'm just thinking, you know, when you see these things from a distance, it may be quite clear to us, okay, this was something that I was attracted to and then I got different results. But at that very moment, what should be our meditation? How to deal?
Don't get attracted. See the attraction before you actually act on it. Oh, here comes Maya. All right, then you stand back and don't play into it. If your intelligence is weak, it's hard to do that. But the idea is to make our intelligence strong so we can recognize that these are allurements and attractions.
Sometimes we understand it even on the level of intelligence, but then the senses are really
strong. Yeah. It says that sensual objects are stumbling blocks on the path of bhakti. The senses become attracted to the objects, and the objects draw the mind into some activity.
Yeah, it happens sometimes that even while we are doing it, we are aware this is not correct.
Yeah.
This is going to get me into trouble.
Right.
But still, because of this strong attachments by the senses.
Yeah. So what is that?
Lust.
That's Arjuna said that to Krishna. What causes a person to act sinfully even against his will? In other words, he knows it's wrong but still does it. And Krishna answers, Kama Asha Krodha Asha. It's lust connected with the mode of passion. In other words, material desires. And desires need to be fulfilled. There's two ways to fulfill desires. Either you don't fulfill them, or you fulfill them in a different way. Not acting on a desire, after some time the desire reduces. But that's the harder way. You need to use that method also. But the proper way is to change your material desires into spiritual desires. That's all.
So we can
When these things come?
Yes.
Yeah, not to become attracted by that. Yeah, because Maya sometimes is too strong for our, we cannot sometimes resist Maya, so we pray, my dear Krishna, please save me. Save me. I know this is wrong, but if you sincerely pray, if you say, my dear Lord, save me, but maybe a little later. Not right now. Save me after it's all over. That doesn't work either. You have to put the immediate emergency button on. Save me now.
Yeah. Prabhupada
explained that it's actually calling it's called dovetailing. Whatever desires and activities you have, and just connect them to devotional service. You like to cook, cook for Krishna. You like to eat, eat prasadam. You like to dance, dance for the Lord, kirtan. You like to sing. You have a particular talent outside, maybe you can do that same service for the devotees in the temple. So just take whatever you do normally for your own enjoyment and do it as a service for the devotees, for Krishna. And then you're still doing the activity, but it's becoming purified now. Rather than bringing you away from Krishna, it brings you towards Krishna. Same thing. You know, I like to tell jokes, so I try to tell jokes for Krishna. Not always works, but anyway. So, yeah. So everyone has a certain propensity that we can't give up. It's our nature. We just use it and try to figure out how you use it in Krishna consciousness, that's all. But when you don't use it in Krishna consciousness, then you have to stop it materially. And that's harder. Sinful activities you can't use in Krishna consciousness. Those you have to stop. There's no choice about those. But there are things that are just a waste of time that we could be doing the same thing for Krishna. Mm-hmm. It's not about suppression. It's about redirection. Redirecting your energies, your talents, your ability, everything in devotional service. That's all. Okay, does that help? Yeah. Okay. Oh, you have a question? Okay. I don't want to keep the... Any of the devotees want to leave, you can leave. This will be the last question, though. Okay.
Sometimes it seems to the devotees that Krishna is sending them some lady, some party, something. That Krishna is
sending some attraction?
Yes, that Krishna is behind some of those. Does Krishna deal with marital arrangements?
Anything, Krishna doesn't deal with the affairs of the material world. He puts that under the care of the demigods or Lord, sometimes Vishnu does that. Krishna is only Vrindavan, that's all. But, he allows things to happen. He mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the overseer and permitter. It's in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. There's certain things he allows to happen. It's not his will. It's called his permissive will. He allows Maya to act in a certain way. It's not that he directs Maya to act in a certain way. Maya is acting because Maya is his agency in this world. And she has her service. She knows her service. So he allows her to do her service like that. But when you call out to Krishna for help, then he intervenes and protects you from Maya. So in a day-to-day life, it's generally, yeah, he's there, but he's helping you through your intelligence. He's helping you through your intelligence. Or he's helping you through the instructions of your spiritual master, which is a form of intelligence. So, therefore, when we are in these situations, we think, well, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to act? And we remember the instructions of the spiritual master, or we remember the scriptures, and then we have the tools to deal with the situation. But he's not directly involved. If he was, no, he's mostly, we can experience Krishna more and more through chanting, through kirtan, through hearing his glories, like that. Vishnu is the maintainer of the material world, not Krishna. He's an expansion of Krishna. Okay, so it's time for lunch, breakfast. Sorry. That was a slip. Time for breakfast. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman ji ki, Jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari, Hari Bol.